Yeah, man. Cool. So, you know, this is about you.
Okay.
So we're just going to talk about you. You know, we do business with people that we know, like, and trust. So people are going to get to know you. And if they like you, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Do you usually eat breakfast? Do you usually grab something
I would say over the last 2 to 3 months, I've started to do it every day. Whereas okay. beforehand, that was a meal I could skip.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah,
yeah, I do bulletproof coffee. And then I try and go as late as I can with my meals because I am just trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
It's the body fat, like the, you know, like, it's just like so hard.
Yeah, I need to get back to the intermittent fasting.
That's, yeah, that's what works for me. That, and I heard a doctor who's big into like fasting and helps a lot of like really, really obese people lose weight and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And he's very big into the intermittent fasting. And he was having a conversation with his 5-year-old son, and he just asked his son, you know, because it's common sense. He's like, how do fat people lose weight? And his little boy doesn't even skip a beat. He's like, well, just stop eating. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, it works for me.
Yeah. How long have you had this office?
I just built this out.
Okay.
Yeah,
I love
it. It's not my office, but I asked. I can't remember who I asked. I asked somebody on the board. I was like, hey, do you guys have an extra room at the chamber that I can turn into a podcast off, a room that, you know, the chamber can use and all that stuff? And they're like, yeah. I was like, cool.
Yeah, I love this.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. That was an extra package of hardwood floor that I had left over from a floor that we did in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's cool.
All right, cool. So here we go. I'm going to get started, play some music, introduce you, and then we're rolling.
All right.
All right. Hello and welcome to Morning Fuel. I am your host, John Bundy, and you are here because you believe in the power of the spoken word and its ability to change lives, and that by sharing our stories, we can help others overcome challenges that they cannot overcome on their own. Whether it's a victory you need to win in business or in your own personal life, you understand that answers can be found in listening to others who are willing to share their stories, knowing that their story ultimately doesn't belong to them. All right, today's guest brings a fresh perspective to entrepreneurship, combining a passion for environmental sustainability with a knack for business innovation. Born and raised in Williamsburg, he's deeply rooted in his community, sharing his life's journey with a loving family, a beautiful girlfriend, and a playful puppy. His love for the outdoors mirrors the ethos of his business. Whether it's the thrill of playing golf, exploring the mountains, or embarking on an adventurous rafting trip, his connection to nature isn't just a hobby. It's a lifestyle exemplified by a once-in-a-lifetime experience swimming with whale sharks in Cancun. Imagine a business that not only serves its community, but actively works to protect the planet. As the owner of the Junk Luggers of Williamsburg, he is at the forefront of an eco-friendly revolution in furniture and junk removal. His company's mission? To prevent reusable items from contributing to landfill waste by donating, recycling, and rehoming as much as possible. In an industry often criticized for its environmental impact, his approach is a breath of fresh air, offering customers not just a service, but a partnership in sustainability. Serving areas from Hampton to Gloucester, his business is more than a junk removal service. It's a testament to his commitment to the green way. By providing customers with an itemized tax-deductible receipt for donations, he ensures transparency and accountability, reinforcing the value of giving back to the community and the environment. Through his unique blend of passions, from sports to music, and his dedication to environmental stewardship, today's guest embodies the spirit of modern entrepreneurship. It's about more than just building a successful business. It's about making a meaningful impact on the world around. Please help me in extending a warm Morning Fuel podcast welcome to the eco-conscious entrepreneur and adventurer, owner of Junk Luggers of Williamsburg, Zach Kirkpatrick.
Awesome.
Good
thank you, John.
To see you, sir. Yeah. Wow, you're welcome, man. You're welcome. So here we are. Here we are talking about you. How'd you get started in junk removal services?
So I'll be candid and say that it wasn't something that I was seeking.
Not your idea?
Time. Correct.
Were you voluntold
no. to do it? No. No. So I was actually chasing a career in sports and got my bachelor's degree from James Madison and followed that up with a master's from William & Mary and with the goal to become the director of intramural sports for a college. And then in my second year in grad school, I kind of switched gears and was going to chase a landscaping path to build my own landscaping business here in town. I've landscaped since I was 13 years old. I love it. It's a therapeutic release for me, and I thought that that would be a really good way to a good direction for me. I thought that landing a job with leadership potential would be a great idea. I accepted a job in Richmond right out of school to be essentially a foreman for a landscaping company with some ability to learn a little bit more of the back end of the business so that I can just see how that ran before I opened my own. And then that didn't really pan out too well for me. I quickly learned that he wasn't ready to relinquish anything.
Gotcha. Not going to give up any information. Your potential competition.
Correct. So. Correct. Gotcha. My dad's best friend was hiring at the time and said that, hey, love to bring you on and give you this potential as well. And so I accepted that position and I think after about five or six months.
Was this another landscaping?
Another landscaping position, okay. Yes, sir.
And he was cool with giving up information because
yes.
He was a family friend and all
yeah,
that stuff.
So. Yeah, yeah. And his brother was the leader of the division that I was part of. So I learned a lot about that landscaping job was actually more so new construction where we would grade yards okay. and then plant plants. And so I learned a whole different aspect of landscaping, which was really cool. But the leadership potential wasn't quite there either. And I was working long hours and
sure. Well, so your mind was go to work for someone, learn as much as you could. Was it to go into business for yourself, or was it to be in leadership in a company?
I think eventually I wanted to be in business for myself. Okay. I think that but was my
at,
ultimate
at first
goal.
At first it was go to work for a company that I can move up in and become
learn.
Like the top or
yeah.
whatever
and okay. learn. Yes, sir.
Okay, gotcha.
And excuse me. So after I found out, well, actually, I wasn't planning on leaving that company. I had no plans to do that. And then a family dinner night, I was over at my mom and stepfather's house, and I was just sitting on the couch, and my stepdad comes over, and he says, "Hey, man, are you interested in a job?" And he runs the drying company, which is a home performance business. They do work in attics, basements, crawl spaces, foundations, and gutters. And at first, I wasn't too interested in a position with them, but it was an opportunity. He's like, "Hey, I have this opportunity. I want you to watch this video." And it was a video about junk luggers. And so I watched a video, and I was confused because it was a little bit of a different direction than I was accustomed to, junk removal company. But at junk luggers' core, it's about giving back. And the position, Steve, my stepfather, was like, "Hey, I'm only going to do this if you run it for me." And so it was the leadership that I wanted. And after diving in more to what the junk luggers was and what it stood for, I really liked the idea of giving back to the community that I grew up in. And so I ended up saying yes. And now we're almost 4.5 years in.
Wow, has it been that long?
Yeah.
That's cool. Fun. So confused kind of by the line of work, but then once you saw the potential and hey, I can lead this thing, that
right.
was kind of it. That's it.
It's
so
excellent.
You've grown since the beginning. So 4 years in, you started with what, a truck?
So yes, we actually started in a drying company box truck.
Okay.
For I would say the first 2 or 3 months because we launched a month after COVID hit.
Oh, wow.
And our truck that we were supposed to have by launch was delayed 2 or 3 months. So we had to work out of a drying company box truck for those first couple months, and that was hard. We were having to load things into the box truck and then hand unload everything out, whether that be at our shop or at the disposal facilities or the donation facilities, everything was touched at least twice, which
and with
was
the
a lot.
Extra hassle of maneuvering masks and gloves and
right.
all kinds of what, you know, the, all the what ifs.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Something else, man.
Yeah. And back in that time was when junk luggers developed a curbside option. So customers could take items to their curb and we would take care of it from there at a discounted rate.
Sure. Sure. You didn't have to move it out of the house.
Correct.
Okay. Wow. Cool. Cool. So you were kind of all over the place. So sports, and then landscaping,
yeah.
and then junk removal service, all in a span of how long was this from when you were studying sports to yeah. junk lugger starts?
So I graduated William & Mary in May of 19, and then started with junk luggers January of 2020.
Okay, so it was a real kind of short span of time. Wow.
Right.
That's a whirlwind of a year.
Yes.
I mean, because your mind's going all these different things. You don't know. Yeah, wow. Okay, cool.
Right.
Well, so what about your love of adventure and the outdoors and stuff like that? Has that been something you've been in since you were a kid, or is it something that's new?
So I would say specifically golf you mentioned started really – so I worked at a golf course on their maintenance crew.
Of course you did.
back in high school, and I loved that. And I got to play free golf, and I got into golf then, but it's an expensive sport, so I didn't really play through college. And then when I started with junk luggers, I started to get back into it, and now I love it. Absolutely love it, and I'll play all the time if I could. And then my now fiance, she's a huge rafter, and she's very in
like
love
white
with
whitewater rafting
yes.
kind of stuff. Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
and she's actually a raft guide as well.
Okay.
And so she took me on my first rafting excursion last year, and I fell in love with that. And she's very outdoorsy too, so we've done a lot of hiking, and I've found that I love it more than I thought I did.
Cool. Yeah. Camping. I grew up camping, and that's always been the kind of thing. I'm more of a mountain person than a beach person, but the beach is growing on me, especially the one in Puerto Rico.
Down in Puerto Rico. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. So talk to me about your experience with swimming with the whale sharks. When did you do that? How in the world did you get into that? Was it a spring break thing? Or
that was outstanding. That was during a summer when I was at JMU. I had a friend whose family invited me out on their family vacation. And that was one of the excursions that we chose while we were down in Cancun. And, she got seasick. And I was like, I'm still going to go. And it was so cool. You're swimming out in the wild and there was probably 10 to 15 sharks around and
like sharks or
no, whale
sharks.
Sharks.
Oh, I was going to say,
and the guide, would swim down deep, and like point, and you can take pictures of him with that. And then, at one point I was swimming towards the boat and I turned around and the shark was coming at me with his mouth open and I was like, oh no, but he had nothing to worry about.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
wow. What an experience. So, and the, how long did that last? I mean, 20 minutes? I mean, what?
I would say we were out there for about an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
It
yeah, I would
amazing.
Go for something like that. This last time we were down in Puerto Rico, they have diving tours and stuff like that. So some folks were snorkeling, and then the other tours that were actually scuba diving and stuff like that. And I've never really wanted to actually, I don't know if I'm claustrophobic, but I never really wanted to put that stuff on. I don't like having a mask on,
right.
especially a snorkel. I remember when I was younger, that was kind of a thing. But they also have like a free diving, like waterman survival. And you get to go spear fishing. That would
That's
be me.
Fun. Yeah,
that would be me. And I'll be. But it was like a course for like a week.
Yeah,
I would be totally down for that.
Once you do yeah. that, then you could go on Survivor.
That's right. That's right. Oh, and it had to do with breath holding too. So they teach you techniques to hold your breath.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you're not encumbered by the mask and the, you know, the snorkel or
yeah.
scuba and stuff. I will do that. I will definitely do that. Maybe not the next time, but the time after that. Talk to us about a like spectacular fail. All right, we're going to switch gears here a little bit. Like this is our what the fail portion of the show. So something that could have taken you out of business, really taken you on a course, you know, to, you know, maybe someplace not so good. Morning Fuel podcast was born out of an experience that I had, losing two jobs, imagining my family homeless, sinking into depression and anxiety, and then trying to find a way out. I had my faith, so I held on to that. But through that prayer and all that went into that, I was given a morning routine that then slowly helped me out of that terrible down spiral. So that's what I'm talking about. Something like that that you can share or you'd want to share, because people are going to get set free hearing our stories.
Yeah.
So if you got something like that?
So I would say something that I failed at over and over again in the first, I would say, two-ish years of being in business was making the wrong hires. My now operations manager, Adam, when we hired him, it changed the course of how we hired. So the first couple people that we had hired, their attitudes weren't great. They were a threat to our reputation. And in business, reputation and integrity is pretty much all you have.
Yeah, that's your name.
Yeah, you can do a good job, but if your integrity or reputation is jeopardized, then you lose everything. And so it's very important to us that we bring people onto our team that are going to uphold the reputation that we want to have out there.
Right.
And so I would say it was about three or four different hires before we brought Adam on, where it was just, man, are we ever gonna get there? Are we ever gonna start growing? We just can't find the right people.
So you started with the box truck. Now where are you at?
We're at three trucks.
Wow.
Yeah, three trucks.
Fantastic. How many employees?
Currently, so we also have an expansion to our business. On the junk lugger side, there's six of us. And then the expansion is called Remix Market.
Remix, I heard about that for the first time today.
Yeah, so little bit about Remix Market. It's a secondhand goods store. So essentially, we created Remix Market as an extension of Junk Luggers to help us further our mission to keep reusable items out of our landfills and support local charities, because what we do with a portion of all of our sales from Remix is donate that to local charity as well.
That's awesome.
So since we have started Remix, we started the journey back in July of this past year, officially launched August 1st with what was called at the time the Green Thrift Store. And then we worked under the Green Thrift Store name until January 1st when we became Remix. But since the inception of us reselling goods, we've raised our donation percentage as a company from 17% to over 50%.
That's fantastic.
So that's been excellent. So we, on the Remix side, we have my mom who helps out. We have three or four other girls that work with us too. So I would say we're a team of like 10 to 12.
Fantastic.
When everybody's working together.
I see. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen a logo or anything like that, but you know, I see like a vintage turntable or something like that. Remix. Wick, wick. You know?
Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
We actually just got a brand new turntable in today.
No, you did not.
We did.
Cool. Cool. Take a picture of it. Send it to me.
Yeah. But back to your question. When we hired Adam, Adam was actually a referral from a networking group, 212.
Okay.
And, I quickly learned his attitude, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And that's when I was thinking, okay, we've had all these struggles bringing in people because we're hiring more so trying to find experience versus attitude. So,
right.
When
so
we
guys
brought,
are coming in kind of sour or with a negative attitude or whatever.
Right. And then when we brought Adam on, everything changed. Like his attitude transcended through the company.
Fantastic.
People loved coming to work again because Adam was there. And so I was like, okay, I don't care what kind of experience you have anymore. I'm hiring strictly on attitude.
Right.
And now I've had, before that, we only had one guy hit a year. Now we have just had our third guy hit a year with us. So
wow.
The team culture and chemistry has changed a lot.
That's
since we've
great.
Changed our hiring
So those
practices.
those first fails finally led to the success, and it's like totally changed your business.
It has.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's good. I've always known you to have a pretty laid back, cool positive attitude too. You can see it. Yeah. It just comes out, you know, so it's great to find somebody else like that. I'm sure it's refreshing to you. It probably puts a, you know, kind of a lighter step in your stride, you know, because you got other folks that are there with a positive attitude on your side and all
right.
that stuff. That,
yeah.
That's fantastic.
And I can trust that they're out there doing good by our customers too, yeah. which is everything.
Yeah, fabulous, man. Fabulous. Well, that's awesome. You know, really great to get you finally in here. We've yeah. been trying for like, you know, two or three times to get you in here. It's been a while. I mean, I think it was like 2 years ago when I started at 212 was where we met.
Mm-hmm.
Great group of people. I love it. I was actually at a 212 this morning and I saw your girlfriend
yeah.
over there at the yeah. Yorktown Revolution 212. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, cool, cool. So how do folks reach out to you? How do they get involved with Junk Luggers or the Remix or just to say hey to you? How do they do that?
Yeah, there's a plethora of ways.
A plethora.
Yeah. at Junk Luggers Williamsburg on Facebook and Instagram. Personally, my name's Zach Kirkpatrick on LinkedIn. And then obviously our website, junkluggersofwilliamsburg.com. And then locally here, you can reach me directly at 757-880-0754.
Cool. Awesome. Super dope, man. All right. Last question.
Yeah.
Zach Kirkpatrick of the Junk Luggers of Williamsburg. What do you as a person, as a business owner, and then your business as a whole, what do you need most right now?
So we are still looking for positive minded individuals. And we're really looking to get into the commercial space. So we do both residential and commercial, anything from a single item pickup all the way up to a full office clean out, full estate clean out, or a hoarding situation. We can handle all of those. But right now we're really starting to try to focus more on commercial. So, for example, senior living facilities are great contacts for us. Apartment complexes, anybody looking to move. So those types of referrals are great for us.
Okay, cool. And it's from Hampton to what is the encompassing area?
Yeah, so our territory is from New Kent down to Hampton, and then okay. we also have the Gloucester Peninsula as well. And currently, we're also able to service the south side if we get leads down there. So Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Suffolk, Chesapeake, Smithfield, we
Excellent.
Can service all those as well.
All right, cool. Before I let you go, man, one memorable junk lugging story. The good, okay. the bad, the ugly.
Yeah.
We want to hear the ugly.
I always like talking about this piano that we got. So I think it was about 2 years ago, this piano. So our customer lived in New York, and he shipped his piano down to Williamsburg to get new legs put on it because the legs had broken, and he was trying to fix it up and get it back to looking beautiful again and standing on its own. And so he had some issues with the guy that he contracted with to, build the legs for this piano. And, it ended up being so where he called us, he said, I don't care what you do with this piano. I just want you to go get it from this guy. I don't want to deal with him anymore. I'll pay you guys to go get it, find it a new home. I don't care what happens to it. And we go to pick it up and it's in a shipping crate.
Right.
And it's an old John Rolfe square piano. And we left it in the shipping crate for, I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks before I got curious and actually opened it. And so when I opened it, on one side of the piano, it opened up on two sides. And when you open the side that didn't have the keys, there was like a wooden area. With six signatures from like 17th, 18th, and 19th century pianists on there.
Wow.
One of them, namely, was Igor Stravinsky, who's a pretty well-known composer
sure.
from back in the day. And so, I don't know, I spent the next week or so researching
sure.
and trying to learn about this piano. Called people at the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation. I was thinking that this might be a massive find and then maybe a museum piece or something.
Sure.
But a couple people that I called actually knew about this piano.
What?
Yeah. And come to find out, it was terminally ill. So the strings were tensioned so much.
Gotcha.
It was beyond repair.
Right.
And so there was really no use.
And it wasn't no value, really.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So now do you guys play it in the.
No. So I actually found somebody that is a huge history buff and ended up donating it to him about a year and a half ago.
Gotcha.
And so he showed me, he has an expansive collection of things. And so he took that.
So that took you down a rabbit trail, learning some things you really don't.
Right.
That's awesome.
But it was a really, really cool find.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, fabulous, dude. Again, great to have you on. And look forward to hearing more and watching you guys grow. I love to see that. And, you know, hopefully some folks that have never heard of you before hear of you now on the podcast.
So, yeah, I really appreciate it, John.
That's my pleasure, man.
Yeah.
You're welcome.